This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Happy New Year and welcome into Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. It is so good to be back in the saddle. We've got some amazing guests that are coming your way over the next 2 hours. One of the highlights for me personally, my son, Stephen Campbell Jr., is going to be joining us. We're going to talk some college golf during these 2 hours. Also, we're going to get you ready. Week 18 of the NFL season, it is here, and helping me break it all down as we get you prepared for this afternoon's games and tonight's game is Sean Mapes. Give him a follow on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at E Radio Sports. And I trust you had a great holiday. How are you, Sean?
I did have a great holiday. 2022 was a good year. Great year, I'd say, for me personally. Hopefully 23 is the same.
Hey, we got to believe the best is ahead. And I know for several teams that they are going to believe for the best. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Raiders. I don't know how compelling of a matchup this is, but the Chiefs, they are a 9-point favorite.
Yeah, and the Chiefs, if they win, they're the one seed. You think going into this game, the Raiders kind of going to lay down, but they showed some fight last week against the Niners. Jared Stidham played better than really he had any business playing. He threw for over 300 yards against one of the best defenses in football with the 49ers, who had just been chewing up quarterbacks. And Stidham played pretty well. So I don't know if that's just a one-week thing. I don't want to get caught up in the hype of just, hey, he was better than I expected.
Uh-huh.
The Chiefs have every motivation to win this game. I think the Chiefs should come out here pretty drama-free and win this one.
What is your perception of the Chiefs right here, right now, at this point in the season? Are they your favorite to win the Super Bowl?
They were my favorite before the season to win the Super Bowl, and there's nothing that they've done that's really talked me out of them. I would say, I mean, obviously with the Hamlin situation and how the Bills respond emotionally, I feel like that will say a lot as far as them being, I think they're probably playing the best football as of now in the AFC. And then you have the Bengals, who apparently just have the Chiefs' number. And so that's going to be tough for the Chiefs to overcome.
Looking forward to that game. Chiefs, Raiders, 4:30 Eastern time kickoff. And of course, later tonight, it'll be the Titans and the Jaguars. You know what? We're going to break it all down. National Fantasy Sports host, UFF Sports, always one of our favorite guests, Andy McNamara. What a great way to kick off the new year. He's going to be up next here at Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, many different ways to connect. Always live on Twitter at E Radio Sports Info, at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com, and never miss a moment with the latest sporting news, trending stories, and all the highlights. Of course, we're being powered by our friends at Progressive Insurance, and it is hard to believe already week 18 in the NFL season, and we're going to preview some of the biggest matchups this afternoon and tonight, and of course tomorrow, and we will highlight some of the best ones that we've got our eye on. Thrilled to have back with us Andy McNamara, National Fantasy Sports host with UFF Sports. What a great way to kick off our first program in 2023. How's our favorite Canadian? How are you, Andy?
Oh, Alyssa, so happy to be back on with you and the all the listeners and everything. Yeah, we're right up against the playoffs, right? Week 18, and there are still so many playoff spots, implications, impacts that can come out of this week's game. So pretty exciting.
Well, we're going to make some picks, and some teams who have everything to play for, from home field advantage to a divisional title to a wild card spot. We'll get into that here in just a moment. But really at the forefront of my mind is Buffalo Bills safety, DeMar Hamlin. He is definitely making progress, and what the doctor said, he has made remarkable improvement. Just your reaction to what has taken place this week.
I think the one word that jumps out to me, Alyssa, is unity. Everybody
okay.
came together. Everybody came together in that horrifying incident. To see that live, it was shocking. And you saw, you know, people in tears, the players, analysts. And I'm sure for a lot of the listeners, too, you know, we're kind of hardened to the world where, you know, someone tears their ACL and you visualize or sometimes feel that the athletes are more like almost actors, entertainment pieces from a movie. You know, it's like, oh, how'd that affect my fantasy team? How'd that affect the bet I made? Whatever. But not this. This brought everybody together, the NFL, the NFLPA, the players from every team, all walks of life, and just being able to see and feel and track the progress that that young man is making is incredible. I'm sure he is going to be overwhelmed with the support that he received when he does hopefully get fully better and back at it. But wow, what that's the one word that really jumps out to me the more I think of it. It's unity. Everybody came together.
It certainly was terrifying to watch, but it has been incredible, just the outpouring of love and support for DeMar. And just kind of like what you said, I mean, he's far more than a football player. Mm-hmm. What have you learned about him as a person just over the past week?
Boy, the charity work. And this is a young guy, right? This is 24 years old.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, somebody who's a Hall of Fame career and has a foundation and all that. And at that time, this is a young guy. Toy drives, charity, children's work, stuff going back to college as well. This just seems like a terrific human, never mind athlete, but just a great guy. And so when you hear that and it shows up what he's done, continues to do, it's just overwhelming. Just like, man, you get choked up just thinking about it. Not even having an attachment to the team as a fan or player, but just as a person. I think you have to pretty much be made out of stone not to be touched by this one.
National fantasy sports host and writer Andy McNamara, our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. Give him a follow on Twitter at Andy MC81UFFSports. And, you know, you've covered the NFL for many, many years. And I just can't even imagine just how difficult this is, even for his teammates to go back on the field and to play.
Yeah. And it's so tricky, right? With that, I think the positive improvements will make it easier from the standpoint of, okay, we hope he's out of the woods. Still, you know, there's still a lot that could happen. But I think that positive progression, I feel it'll probably turn into a rallying point for them. You know, the old let's win one for the Gipper, right? Let's win one for DeMar. Let's have this. It could be a real unifying act for the Buffalo Bills, for teams, and just them being able to, and let's face it, they're already a terrific team, clinch the AFC East. But to have that as that extra bit of, you know what, this is our guy, we're with him, and we're going to be pulling through and trying to win this one. That could sort of be an under the radar, a little bit of extra motivation for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm. And what is the latest discussions as far as the possibility of the game being played at a later time? How does this all going to play out and work, you think?
Yeah, this is really interesting, and it's developing, you know, hour by hour. So make sure folks, you're, you know, cracking those NFL insiders and all that, right? The those guys there. But from what it looks like, and this is what I was starting to think about of. How do you do this? It doesn't look like it's going to be made up, and that if there's any tie breaks, it will go by winning percentage, which is quite frankly unheard of. I thought for sure, Alyssa, I thought the NFL was going to mess it up.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought they were going to be like, oh, okay, you still have to play on like a Wednesday and then get back. And I thought there was no way that they were not going to get that game in some way, shape, or form. Doesn't look like, and really I don't see sort of how you would, because it is week 18. There's no buys. You know, if this was in middle of the season, you had a bye week to play with, okay. But there isn't. And then the playoffs, and these are two playoff teams as well. So it's not as if you could squeeze that one in afterwards, because that would impact the playoffs for the Bills and the Bengals when it comes to playing and not having that fair, you know, time to rest. So it looks like it's just going to be, you know, kind of done with winning percentage. For the Bills, that's not, I don't think, going to be too much of a problem, although there is sort of number one seed. For the Bengals, and you got the Ravens sitting there, that's sort of interesting as well, because if the Bengals lose and the Ravens win, and then you get down to different tie breaks and this, it could get a little tricky that way. So I don't think we're going to get a full idea of how this plays out until the end of week 18.
It is the final week of the NFL regular season. We are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show, going one-on-one with Andy McNamara, national fantasy sports host, UFF Sports. It is truly the past, present, future of fantasy football. Of course, Andy joins us on the program on a regular basis. He's from Ontario, Canada. Hey, we're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and he will be back. We're going to get you ready for the big matchups this afternoon. Chiefs and the Raiders kick off 4:30 Eastern Time. Come on back to the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, being powered by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Connect with us online at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, and Podcast Arena. We are being rejoined by national fantasy sports host and writer, that is Andy McNamara. Going to get you set and ready for a couple of big games this afternoon. 4:30 kickoff Eastern Time with the Chiefs and the Raiders as we are in Week 18. Who you got? Which team is going to win, Andy?
Boy, the Raiders are just so bad. They're just. I don't know how they have 6 wins, to be honest with you. That goes a long way to
six
Derek
and
Carr.
Ten.
What a situation of quarterback movement. Because I've liked Derek Carr coming out of college. Yeah, is he the best guy? Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? No. But this with this Josh McDaniels, this is a classic case of a coach trying to force a system on a QB instead of what good coaches do. And remember, Josh McDaniels stunk the joint on his cup of coffee when he was head coach of Denver years ago, then went back crying to Uncle Bill in New England. And I think he's probably not too far from doing that again. But what the good coaches do, the Shanahans, the Reeves, et cetera, they say, okay, Mr. Quarterback, what do you do well? I'm going to make you do well. I'm going to accentuate your positives and try to limit your negatives. Josh McDaniels is like, you do this. And Derek Carr just got to the point, he's like, nah, I'm going to do my own thing, and then I'm going to go somewhere else, which is not here. It's a divorce, and now, hey, Jarrett Stidham, and he's it's a joke. The Kansas City Chiefs, the only way they lose this is if they play so down to their opponent, because they still have something to play for. They still have that top seed to play for, depending on what happens with Buffalo, right? So there's still something for them to play for. They're not going to be resting anybody. I think this is just an absolute smash job by the Chiefs on their division rival.
Well, I was going to ask you, when we talk about the Las Vegas Raiders, one of the biggest questions that everyone has been chatting about is the Raiders' key playmakers. Will they be able to compete for a full 60 minutes, right? We're just going to have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I mean, they have amazing weapons, but who or what is the greatest asset coming into this game?
Yeah, who's getting in the ball?
At
quarterback, Derek Carr could at least distribute it. And it comes down to, again, a total failure. And we have to remember, too, listeners have to remember, Mark Davis and Mike Brown are two of, there might be others, but those are the two owners for sure, Mike Brown, owner of the Bengals, and Davis for the Raiders. They're one of the two remaining NFL guys who the NFL team is their business. This isn't like Jerry Jones, who came from oil, or whoever, you know, Jimmy Haslam with the Browns came from, Pilot Flying J, and all. Their business is the NFL team. So they're not necessarily can be as loosey-goosey with their money. And the thing is, they're like, well, they signed Josh McDaniels to a big contract. He's probably going to be staying there for a while. Oh, and they're still likely, you know, paying out to some degree Gruden, right? Like there's a lot of money tied up in these coaches. So he's staying there. But the question is, you got Devontae Adams. What are you doing with him? You can't be having freaking Jarrett Stidham throwing the ball. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. No, it's terrible. And it looks like their record isn't bad enough, unless they want to be trading assets to move up to the number one or two spot, to get the best quarterback in the class. And it's supposed to be a deep QB class. So they might be stuck in a limbo. They might be good enough to not be bad enough, strangely enough. But you do have weapons. You're right. You have Josh Jacobs there on running back. Sensational. You're probably going to win the rushing title. Devontae Adams, Darren Waller now back healthy. You have pieces. It's the strategy around it. And that's what the problem in Las Vegas is.
Okay, the Chiefs are a 9-point favorite this afternoon against the Raiders. And, of course, the Chiefs are coming off a 27-24 win against the Broncos. Got to ask you, not to digress, but were you surprised that game was so close?
I was. Yeah, I was like, I think a lot of people might have taken a bath on the point spread if they were betting, you know, laying a few bucks down. They might have, or won somebody too, depending if you went the other way with it. You know, and that's always the tricky thing too with division rivals, right? Like in most cases, you look at and you're like, okay, well, Chiefs, the Raiders are just so bad, I don't even take that into consideration. But for the most part, you look at division rivals, and if you see too big of a spread, typically you want to maybe go against that because of the familiarity when you're playing a team twice a year forever.
So are you, the Chiefs right now, are they your favorite to win the Super Bowl?
I'm kind of feeling Buffalo.
Okay,
I am.
All right.
I'm kind of feeling the Bills. Here's why I think we should all be hoping that the stars align and somehow it's conference championship, Bills, Chiefs, part two. Let's do it again like we did last year with that absolutely epic showdown. And let's just see how it plays out. Listen, Chiefs have as dynamic an offense, and I think they've what I've liked is how, as the year's gone on, they've developed a new strategy post Tyreek Hill, because they were struggling at first. Who's the second wide receiver? Well, you're working now in the running backs more. You have, of course, Travis Kelce. You're distributing the football quite a bit. So I think you have that that difference there, where now they're comfortable in what they are. What's their new norm post Tyreek Hill? They're comfortable with that. And the Buffalo Bills working in James Cook, Singletary a little bit more, trying to work in that either run game or extended run play on those short passes to the running back. So I like how both offenses have grown and evolved as the year's gone on. I think it's almost a pick-em between those two. With, let's not forget, the red-hot Cincinnati Bengals who have run seven in a row. I don't think we can overlook them either.
Mm-hmm. Andy McNamara, National Fantasy Sports host with UFF Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter, at AndyMC81. You bet it is countdown to kickoff. We were just highlighting the Chiefs and the Raiders. Now let's turn our attention to tonight's game that will actually be televised on ESPN and ABC. The 7-9 Titans will face on the road the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 8-8. What do we need to know about this particular matchup? I think it's one of the best games of the week, right?
Boy, Alyssa, who would have thought week 18, prime time, the matchup we all want to see is Titans-Jaguars. Not me.
Anything's possible.
That matchup as a primetime must-see event was not on my bingo card. But here it is. And it is. It is.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. As far as just a general interest, I think the Jaguars are one of the best feel-good stories this year. Think about what they overcame. Urban Meyer, debacle. Wow. You almost broke Trevor Lawrence. And for the first half of the season, it was Doug Peterson coming in, trying to save the day, stable mind, Super Bowl champion, winning coach, deprogram and rebuild on the fly Trevor Lawrence. And don't look now, but darn, he's done it. He did it while the season was going on. And now you look at this Jaguars team taking on a Titans club, which really, Alyssa, you're looking at it, it's pretty much Derrick Henry. Their secondary isn't at 100%. Tannehill's still on IR. Is it Josh Dobbs is going to start? Is it Malik Willis? Is it a bit of both? You know, they've lost six in a row. They're tumbling. I think this is the Jaguars to lose, to be honest with you. That quarterback play. And I like seeing Josh Dobbs. He was with the Browns this year on either practice squad or as a backup. And he didn't play much. But in the preseason, I like him better than Malik Willis as far as what he can potentially do. But I don't think it's going to be good enough. This is a the Jags aren't this sort of stepping stone that they used to be. This is a team that believes in itself. This is a team that's clicking. That's sort of like a why not us? No one thinks we should be here. We know how that goes in sports,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, and the Jaguars own a four-game winning streak, and they've been playing with a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum. And you're giving a lot of love to Trevor Lawrence. But what's going to be the key for Tennessee? Come on, we got to take care of Titan fans. How do they snap the six-game losing streak? And they have struggled. Listen to me. They've struggled a lot on offense. They're only averaging like 10.5 points per game. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, and when you have that, what it then comes down to, because we've seen the Baltimore Ravens win in that style as of late. If you don't, the defense has to step up in a big way. And guess what hasn't been happening for Tennessee? The defense hasn't been stepping up. You know, not healthy. Boy, you look at their depth chart, man. You know what I see? I see a lot of Qs and doubtfuls and IRs and outs, and there's trouble. There's a lot of ifs. So if you can't score, and then your defense isn't at 100%, and you're going up against a team that's on a four-game winning streak whose offense is humming, it's not a great recipe for success. But you still got one big train, Derrick freaking Henry.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the hope for the Titans. Run that man into the ground and hope he goes for 250 and three touchdowns and don't get cute about anything else. Ground and pound, control the clock. They need really those extended runs, those extended drives where you're eating up 8-9 minutes more a drive, and keep the ball out of Jacksonville's hands and hope you eke out some, 14-13 last second field goal type of thing.
Sports Map Radio Network on this Saturday afternoon, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. What an amazing way to kick off our very first program in 2023. Andy McNamara going to be with us just a few more minutes. Let's pivot. Let's move ahead, and let's talk about some of Sunday's matchups. You touched briefly on the Bills and the Patriots in our first segment, but let's talk about the Packers. What's it going to take for them to clinch a playoff spot on Sunday?
You know what? The Packers, we all wrote them off, myself included, and lo and behold, that's what happens when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. I thought the Lions let an opportunity slip away maybe the other week when they could have gone up a bit, and they're looking for a wild card spot. But then they won last week, and that's okay. Now, when we talk about that Saturday night main event, who would have thought we'd be have Lions-Packers battling for a playoff spot?
Yeah.
My goodness. I'm cheering for the Lions straight up, man. What a story. Come on, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers got enough Super Bowls. They got enough Super Bowls. Give some love to the poor sad sack Detroit Lions. Maybe it's the Great Lakes connection for me as a Browns fan. Feel bad for the other Great Lakes. It's for the Detroit Lions, we kind of know. The defense is sieve-like, but they're getting better on that defensive line. The offense can be explosive, but they're kind of wild west, inconsistent. It could go good. It could go bad. And then you got the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers, who very quietly almost have won four in a row.
Yes.
And what we're seeing is you put up 41. That game, that putting up 41 against the Vikings last week, I think is huge. Because before that, we were seeing in the 20s, and it just wasn't. It didn't feel like a Packers offense. So last week, that was a Packers point production. What do you do against the Lions? Packers should, if we're looking at it, should win. But I'm really hoping that that Detroit kind of pulls it out and makes it really interesting there. That's going to be a fun one. That's Sunday Night Football, too. That's going to be good.
Yeah, four straight wins for the Packers after starting the season 4-8. What changed?
You know what? I feel it was the case where Aaron Rodgers came out and he said, look, I still want to play, because there was the rumors that they put Jordan Love in there. And he's like, look, until we're officially eliminated, I want to play.
Okay, good point.
It was a subtle comment. It got play, but it was subtle. And, I'm not in the locker room or in the heads of the guys, of course, in Green Bay. But to me, that says where Aaron Rodgers so often it's like rumored, oh, he's going to host Jeopardy, or he's this, Hollywood. Is he going to retire? Well, that message just told his team, hey, I'm not giving up. Why not? And how often can you say Aaron Rodgers is an underdog, right? He's an underdog right now with this Packers team. So that's a different message that you can use. You still have some good pieces. You got Christian Watson, the rookie, who is my guy. We talked about way back at the draft. I love Christian Watson, and it took him a while. Boy, that dude turned into a bit of a stud, and I think he's got a super bright future. Got a great backfield with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And Aaron Rodgers can, make any pass you need. So for the Packers, I think what you need to do is try to get out to the quick lead, make Detroit still sort of force their hand a little bit. Because, they're exciting. They could put up 40. They could put up 10.
Uh-huh.
They're all over the place in the most exciting of ways. But, boy, Dan Campbell, Lions, if they make the playoffs, I would love to see that post-game press conference or in the locker room, the footage after. That guy's going to go berserk.
Yeah, it is must-watch TV. Week 18 in the NFL. Our time is up with Andy McNamara, national fantasy host and writer. Check him out, UFF Sports, and give him a follow on Twitter, @AndyMC81. An extended segment with him. What a great way to kick off 2023. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you, Andy.
Oh, Alyssa, absolutely love it. Thank you so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. We're going to shift gears, talk some PGA news and notes with Larry Miller, former PGA pro, after this quick commercial break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Okay, Happy New Year. Welcome in, Sports Map Radio Network, and another edition of the Big E Sports Show, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Did you know that drivers who switch to Progressive save nearly $700 on average? Progressive makes things so much easier. Well, as promised, it is time for some PGA news and notes. And with a brand new year, we're going to take a look at some of the players in 2023 who perhaps are feeling a little bit more pressure and that they've got to produce better results. Certainly several players come to my mind. Thrilled to have back with us to get his insight, and that is former PGA Tour player and author Larry Miller. Good afternoon. We've had a nice long holiday break. How are you doing, Larry?
Good afternoon. Yeah, well, we have had a nice break, and I'm ready to get back to golf's now at the forefront in my mind. Football's about done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's going to be a fun season for golf. I'm really looking forward to it, and a lot of storylines.
Well, is there a player on tour that they've got to take care of business, that this is a critical year for them? Which golfers need to have a big 2023?
Well, I think there's some pressure for sure on Scottie Scheffler to, you know, he ascended so fast there to the number one player. And then lost it, and it seems to be showing signs of playing well again. I think there's pressure on him because I think he wants to get back to that number one position. I think once you get there, it's hard to let that go. You want to stay on top. I think he's feeling pressure. I think Jordan Spieth is feeling pressure because I think Jordan is such a competitor, and he very badly wants to get back to where he was when he was winning those majors, all those majors that he won so early on. So I think he's feeling some pressure to get back to where he feels he belongs and where he once was. A lot of players, you know, who maybe are kind of getting toward the tail end of their careers on the regular tour, mm-hmm. are feeling some pressure to stay there. One name comes to mind is Matt Kuchar, who, you know, he's been a real steady journeyman for so long, but really hasn't won a whole lot of tournaments. And he seems to be fading away from the spotlight. So I think he's got pressure, too, to try to get back, get back into the conversation. So I think a lot of players are feeling pressure this coming year. I think we talk about Ricky Fowler, of course, as another one. Mm-hmm. Probably has a lot more pressure than anyone. Because he was on the brink of losing his playing privileges, and so there's no greater pressure than that, because you don't want to be relegated to the Corn Ferry Tour or worse.
Well, I want to back up just a minute. You were talking about Jordan Spieth, and certainly when we look at what he has accomplished over his past 10 years, it really is incredible. And I think what really speaks to me is this is a young man that had to muscle through some serious adversity. I mean, I can't think of, you know, just the number of shows that we talked about, like, what is it going to take for Jordan Spieth to get back in groove?
Yeah, and when he couldn't find a fairway
a
couple of years, just couldn't
sure.
find a fairway at all. When that happens, you start wondering, are you going to completely lose it like some players in the past have done, like Ian Baker Finch, you know, who is now a popular broadcaster on telecast and who won the British Open, and then suddenly, within a year, couldn't break 85 at any time. And it can happen in golf. The golf swing is a very sensitive motion, very sensitive thing. A lot of things have to go right to hit good shots, and only one thing has to go wrong to hit bad ones. And so it's real easy to lose it. And I think when he was driving the ball so poorly, that was a fear. Is it the whole thing going to go away? Well, it seems to have come back, but getting back to the winner's circle in majors is something that, you know, that happened before, and I know he wants to get back to where that's happening again. So I think the pressure from that standpoint is for him to get to the level he was at before.
We are back in this brand new year, 2023, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Our very special guest who joins us each and every week is former PGA pro and author Larry Miller. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. Larry just mentioned Ricky Fowler, someone who has struggled mightily. And his last PGA Tour win was the WM Phoenix Open in 2019. So when we look at Larry, where he's been the past 3 years, he's gone through a number of swing coaches, been searching for answers. Where do you see his game right now? Because on a positive, I mean, he did finish 2022 strong.
He did, and he's gotten with Butch Harmon. And, you know, sometimes with golf, the teachers, the instructors, you have to hit the right note. Sometimes you might have two or three instructors trying to get the same thing accomplished, but they say it in different ways. They communicate it in different ways. And sometimes it takes just the right form of communicating that knowledge that hits a switch, and the switch goes off. And Butch, you know, he's done it before. I mean, look at the players that he has not only developed into great players, but who has resurrected some careers at various times. So I think, judging by the way Ricky finished the year in 2022, it seems like Butch is making a big difference, as he's done with others before. And hopefully that switch has gone off with Ricky, and the confidence level is up there. You know, confidence in golf is the biggest thing.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it's artificially created, confidence is a very powerful thing, because when you have confidence, it lessens the fear and doubt. And the fear and doubt are the things that cause tension in golf. And once you get tension in the golf swing or tension in your mind, you're done in golf. It's fatal to the golf swing and to scoring in general. So sometimes the right instructor can make changes that give you that confidence again, and let you play with freedom. And once you play with freedom, that's when you can flourish.
Well, it is remarkable just how big of an impact Butch Harmon has already had with Ricky Fowler. We've seen it before. I mean, the skill, the talent, it's definitely there. But when we dissect his game, I don't think it was necessarily what the swing. It was more about he wasn't putting like he was back in 2015. Correct me if I'm wrong, Larry.
That's true. But you see, that's the confidence part of it. Just the fact that he's working with Butch, and Butch has you know, maybe made some changes that has instilled the confidence again in Ricky. And once that confidence comes back, the putting is going to be there, because the talent, the technique, the knowledge of putting is there in his mind. It's just a matter of thinking you're going to make putts. The thing with putting is that you have to believe you're going to make a putt. If you have the slightest doubt, then you end up making a tentative stroke. You don't roll the ball well, don't hit it solid, and don't hit it along the line that you want to hit it on. Now, when you have confidence, all those things sort of happen almost automatically. You don't even think about it. And so it's a confidence level. So maybe Butch working with him and making these improvements and changes, positive changes, maybe that has bolstered Ricky's confidence, and he'll start believing again that he can make putts. And boy, when he was a fabulous putter there for a long time, one of the best ever. And if he gets that back again, then he'll have no trouble getting back to his level.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Yeah, it is week 18, the final week in the regular season in the NFL. But right now we are talking some PGA news and notes with always our favorite guest, and that is Larry Miller, former PGA pro and author. We're kind of talking about the players that are feeling perhaps a little bit of pressure here in 2023 that want to come out and, you know, set the tone early. Another player that comes to my mind, just wonderful, I love his game so much, and that is Colin Morikawa. What is your theory, Larry, on why he didn't play better in 2022? Because he's got to have a big year. I know he got married, but that can't be an excuse, right?
Yeah. No, we can't use that. That's not politically correct these days.
So, we're all about that on our show.
Yeah, but Colin Morikawa, you know, he set it himself that he lost the ability to hit that controlled fade that he always played that he could rely on so well. I mean, he could do that on command. And he even self-admitted during the season, toward the end of last season or the middle of the season, that he was struggling with being able to hit that fade, that reliable fade again. And so I think it's a mechanical issue with him. You know, he's such a great ball striker when he's got that fade going, and that kind of went away from him, so it affected his scoring, of course, because he's going to miss more greens in regulation when he can't rely on those approach shots. But he's got such a great swing, and, you know, he works hard, and I'm sure he'll be able to get back the shot that he was struggling with. That really controlled fade that just sort of hangs up there in the sky and then drops about 3 yards to the right when he comes down. And when you know you're going to hit that shot, you can go after just about any pin that you want to. And that's why he was so great so early on. But he'll get that back. He's too talented not to. He'll figure it out. And the rest of his game is solid.
That certainly will be the key for him producing better results in 2023. In fact, his last victory was November of 2022 at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Excuse me, I stand corrected, 2021. But he did collect five top five finishes and was a runner-up at the Genesis Invitational last February. And let's not forget that final round, Larry. I don't know if you remember, but he shot a 65. So this is a guy, this is a cat that can definitely get it done. Now, I have some curiosity. Let's pivot here and let's talk about John Rahm. I just kind of wonder, you know, what are some of his goals for the upcoming season? I know that he would, wouldn't you think, he wants to win a second major championship. He'd like to accomplish that.
Well, you must have read my mind because I was going to talk about John Rahm.
Actually
my pick. He's my pick this week. I think John Rahm, to me, is the... Mm-hmm. He might be the toughest competitor out there on the tour. If you just look at him, the way he plays, he almost plays, you know how an NFL running back, sometimes they say that he runs angry. John Rahm almost plays golf angry, you know, where he's just attacking the golf course, and he's a fierce competitor. And I think with that swing he's got, that compact action, that not a lot can go wrong with his swing. And he's such a fierce competitor. I think he's going to have a big, big year this year. And, saying that these days on the PGA Tour, it's a win is hard to come by because of the fact that there's so many great players. But when you get the talent like his and the competitiveness that he has, that's a real strong combination there, and I think he's my pick this week, and I think he's my pick to at least win at least one major this year.
The Century Tournament of Champions, it is underway right now, being played in Maui. Are you a bit surprised that world number one Rory McIlroy, he opted out of this elevated event and he did not make the trip?
Yeah, that's kind of curious. You know, you wonder if he has some sort of temporary medical physical issue or something that he was being careful with. Who knows?
He's a new father.
That's another thing that can certainly alter your schedule a bit, especially early on. So we'll see. But Rory's he's the best player in the world, in my opinion. And, you know, it's just a matter with Rory is how his short game is. And if it's good, he's going to win a lot. And if it's not, then he'll still be in the top 10. That's how good he is. But anyway, we'll see. Hopefully we'll find out. You know, maybe he'll come up why he's not there and whatever. But he's going to have a big year also, I'm sure.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Happy New Year. We're going to go back inside the ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller. You know, Larry, you are a world traveler. I'm actually going to Bermuda next week, which I'm looking forward to for my youngest son's golf tournament, AJGA, to kick off 2023. But what is it like playing golf in Hawaii? That was, you know, my oldest son plays for the University of Oklahoma. I did not make the road trip to Hawaii this year, but what's that experience like? What's it like to play island golf?
Well, hang on to your hat. And that place is
four seasons in one day.
Well, it's one of the windiest places I've ever played golf, and don't wear a big hat. Get something tight on your head, because otherwise it's going to fly into the water. But it's fun. It's very windy there. It's a beautiful place. A lot of old world tradition there. You know, you're going to love it. All the locals, luminaries, are all dressed in that white uniforms, and really is kind of neat. And great food, great seafood. You're right out there in the ocean. But it is windy. I played one tournament there, and boy, I'll tell you, it'll beat you up. So anyway, that'll be fun for you, though. You're going to love it.
Larry, you are what, 75 years young? And I just have to wonder, as we're starting a brand new year, what are some of the golfing goals that you have in this new season? Is there something that you're, you know, anticipating, that something new that you could learn, specifically even with the game of golf? Where are you with your game?
Well, you know, I'm still playing pretty well. I shoot my age or better 95% of the time that I play golf still. I've lost a little distance, of course, off the tee, but my accuracy is as good as ever. And my short game is probably better than it used to be. So I have goals to keep doing that this year, you know, keep shooting below my age and put up some good numbers and maybe win a couple of these local PGA events in our section.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we appreciate you kicking us off in our first program of 2023. Check him out, his website, LarryMillerGolf.com. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy this beautiful weather, exceptional weather, I would say, in the month of January. I know the cold will eventually get back here, but we'll talk next week. Thank you, Larry.
Everybody have a great year of golf, and we'll talk next week.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back after this quick timeout.